Democrats said today they plan to filibuster Judge Neil Gorsuch's nomination to the Supreme Court. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer made that announcement today on the Senate floor.
After careful deliberation, I have concluded that I cannot support Judge Neil Gorsuch's nomination to the Supreme Court. He will have to earn 60 votes for confirmation. My vote will be no, and I urge my colleagues to do the same.
Today is day four of Gorsuch's confirmation hearings. The Senate Judiciary Committee is hearing testimony about Gorsuch from former colleagues, lawyers, and advocacy groups. Gorsuch finished his own 2 days of testimony yesterday, and we want to listen now to some extended clips. One of the issues that came up again and again was the Democrats' anger over the fact that Republicans refused to give a hearing to President Obama's nominee for the same seat, Merrick Garland. Here's Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy.
I think it was shameful. I think it has severely damaged the reputation of this committee. I think it has severely damaged the reputation of senators who concurred with that. We were anything but the conscience of the nation in that regard. And those who proudly held their hand up to this and swore that they would uphold the Constitution of the United States did not.
Generally, Gorsuch's 2 days of testimony were civil and uneventful, though two of his former law students did make waves the night before the hearing started with letters they sent to the committee. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin asked Gorsuch about the students' concerns, which arose out of a discussion that he had led in a legal ethics and professionalism class.
It was a gender-targeted discussion regarding the hardship to employers of having female employees who may use maternity benefits. One of these students signed her name publicly to her letter, which is a pretty brave thing to do. That student didn't just make this issue up after you were nominated. Last night, the University of Colorado Law School confirmed that she had voiced her concerns with administrators shortly after your April 19th class, and also confirmed that the administrators told her they would raise this matter with you, though they never actually did so. When we receive information like this, which raises questions about your views and conduct on important issues, I want to get to the bottom of it. I mentioned that to you yesterday in my opening statement that I would be bringing this up. So I just want to ask you to confirm, did you ask your students in class that day to raise their hands if they knew of a woman who had taken maternity benefits from a company and then left the company after having a baby?
No, Senator, and I'd be delighted to actually clear this up.
Please.
Because the first I heard of this was the night before my confirmation hearing. I've been teaching legal ethics at the University of Colorado for 7 or 8 years. It's been a great honor and pleasure. I teach from a standard textbook that every professor, well, I don't know if every professor, a number of professors at CU and elsewhere use. It's an excellent textbook, Professors Lerman and Schrock. One of the chapters in the book confronts lawyers with some harsh realities that they're about to face when they enter the practice of law. As you know, and I know, we have an unhappy and unhealthy profession in a lot of ways. Lawyers commit suicide at rates far higher than the population. Alcoholism, divorce, depression are also at extremely high rates. Young lawyers also face the problem of having enormous debts when they leave law school. And that's a huge inhibition for them to be able to do public service, like you and I are so privileged to be able to do. We talk about those things. There is one problem in the book, and I'd be happy to share with you the book and the teacher's manual so you can see for yourself, Senator, which asks the question, and it's directed to young women, because sadly this is a reality they sometimes face. The problem is this. Suppose an older partner woman at the firm that you're interviewing at asks you if you intend to become pregnant soon. What are your choices as a young person? You can say yes, tell the truth, the hypothetical is that it's true, and not get the job and not be able to pay your debts. You can lie, maybe get the job, you can say no. That's a choice too. It's a hard choice. Or you can push back in some way, shape, or form. And we talk about the pros and the cons in a Socratic dialogue so that they can think through for themselves how they might answer that very difficult question And, Senator, I do ask for a show of hands, not about the question you asked, but about the following question. And I ask it of everybody. How many of you have had questions like this asked of you in the employment environment? An inappropriate question about your family planning. And I am shocked every year, Senator, how many young women raise their hand.
Well, a number of Democrats raised concerns about Gorsuch's views and record on women's rights, including abortion and access to contraception. Gorsuch managed to largely avoid being pinned down on where he stands on the most controversial issues like abortion, gun control, and many others, citing his desire to remain independent and not appear biased in future cases.
I can't promise you how I'd rule in a particular case. That would be deeply wrong to sit here at a confirmation table. And I think we agree on that, that it would be a violation of the independent judiciary for a nominee to a court to make a promise on any case in order to win confirmation. All I can promise you is that I will exercise the care and consideration due precedent that a good judge is supposed to.
That is entirely expected for judicial nominees, but several Democratic senators said they felt Gorsuch was taking it further than most. And in announcing his opposition to Gorsuch this morning, Senator Schumer said Gorsuch, quote, declined to answer question after question after question with any substance. All we have to judge the judge on is his record. One aspect of Gorsuch's record that several Republicans and Democrats brought up was his dissent in the so-called frozen trucker case. In that case, a man was fired from his job as a truck driver after his truck broke down when it was 14 below zero. The driver called for help and was told to wait in the cab of the truck, which he did for several hours, but then he became hypothermic. At that point, he unhitched the cab from the trailer and drove away to try to warm up. He returned to the trailer once help arrived, but he was fired for leaving. Here's Minnesota Senator Al Franken pushing Gorsuch on why he decided against the trucker.
Okay, he gets fired. And the rest of the judges all go, that's ridiculous. You can't fire a guy for doing that. There were two safety issues here. One, the possibility of freezing to death or driving with that rig in a very, very very dangerous way. Which would you have chosen? Which would you have done, Judge?
Oh, Senator, I don't know what I would have done if I were in his shoes, and I don't blame him at all for a moment for doing what he did do. I empathize with him entirely.
Okay, we've been talking about this case. You haven't decided what you would have done? You haven't thought about for a second what you would have done in
Senator,
his case?
I thought a lot about this case.
What would you have done?
I totally empathize and understand.
I'm asking you a question. Please answer questions.
Senator, I don't know. I wasn't in the man's shoes, but I understand why he did.
You don't know what you would have done. Okay, I tell you what I would have done. I would have done exactly what he did.
Yeah, I understand.
And I think everybody here would have done exactly what he did. And I think that's an easy answer. Frankly, I don't know why you had difficulty answering that.
Democrats point to Gorsuch's dissent in the frozen trucker case as proof that he tends to rule in favor of corporations and against the little guy, something Gorsuch denies. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island also pushed Gorsuch about where he stands on Citizens United and the issue of dark money in politics. Whitehouse specifically raised the issue of a dark money group that put millions into blocking Obama's nominee, Judge Garland, and backing Gorsuch.
How would you describe any differences that you may have in judicial philosophy with Chief Judge Garland?
I would leave that for others to characterize. I don't like it when people characterize me, and I would not prefer to characterize him. He can characterize himself.
What's interesting is that this group sees a huge difference between you that I don't understand. The dark money group that is spending money on your election spent at least $7 million against him getting a hearing and a confirmation here, and indeed produced that result by spending that money. And then now we have $10 million going the other way. That's a $17 million delta. And for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out what they see in you that makes that $17 million delta worth their spending. Do you have any answer to that?
You'd have to ask them.
I can't because I don't know who they are. It's just a front group.
Republicans seem very pleased with Gorsuch's qualifications. Here's Utah Senator Orrin Hatch.
And I have to say that I've been around here 40 years, and I've seen all kinds of judges come before this committee. And there have been a number of great ones. And you, sir, are one of the great ones.
But with Democrats now saying they're prepared to filibuster Gorsuch's nomination, Republicans will need to get a supermajority, 60 votes, to confirm him. Or they could change the rules to allow Supreme Court nominees to be confirmed by a simple majority, 51 votes. In the past, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has seemed reluctant to do that, but he has not ruled it out.